Today, I want to talk to you about stirring up the water, We've got a picture here on the screen of some bubbles. And I think we need to just understand what we're reading in John chapter 5. John is not saying that an angel did come and stir the waters. What he's saying is that it was popularly believed that an angel did come and stir the waters. In fact, what we are looking at here is a biblical record of the existence of a religious cult. A religious cult met around Bethesda because they believed that when the water bubbled up, it was an angel. And you have to remember at this time, the rise of Gnosticism, where everything is about angels, was very, very dominant. I often think if you've been to the States in the last 25 years, every shopping mall you go to has got an angel shop. And you can go in and you can buy anything you can think of, t-shirts, pictures, little handcrafted angels. You can go away with every sort of angel you want. But Gnosticism was just as real then as it is now. The idea that some people have a greater knowledge because they have had a touch with the spirit realm. I remember once when I was on the programme on Sunday morning on ITV, where they talk about the big questions, and they particularly put me on to talk with a woman who had just written a book about this type of thing. And she really believed that angels were very real. She didn't believe in God, but she believed in angels. And it was one of those things which was very difficult for me to measure how I should speak to her without making her look stupid. And I hope, looking back, that I didn't do too bad a job. But the woman really wasn't quite fully with it. But in those days, if you can imagine, you've been there for 38 years. Grief, I've been married for 38 years. This man had been paralyzed for 38 years. And Jesus comes along and sees him. And it's an absolutely epic moment, a moment of choice, a moment of change, a moment of breakthrough in this man's life. And he sat in a cult of people who worship the angels that come and stir the water. And it's absolutely bizarre. I wonder what Jesus thought of those people there. But I'm sure he was much more compassionate than I would have been. The truth is, the clue is in the passage that this was where the sheep gate was. This was where they brought sheep into the city. This is where they calmed their sheep with a cooling wash. This is where the sheep did all sorts of things in the water. This is where sheep poo collected in the bottom. And then it released its gases and the water bubbled. For us in the 21st century, this is all very straightforward. We understand where the bubbles came from. But in those days, people who were desperate, would believe the next thing that came along. We need to remember that there are people who are desperate. And that's why it's important that we share Jesus with them. Because Jesus is not a cult. Jesus is not something weird and unreliable. Jesus is God. Jesus is the answer for the world today. And we also need to share that truth with people. So, the mythology of the day. was that it was an angel, but we know it was something more to do with a sheep. My second point today is think about it. Think about it. So this guy has been crippled for 38 years. What about the other 37 years? His 38th year is his breakthrough year. But what about the other 37 years? I mean, this is a man who is often just sat there, sometimes sat in his own mess, waiting for somebody to help him. And all of a sudden, this guy who has a certain amount of presence, this guy who there is something about him that this man recognises, that this man has got maybe more about him than these puddles have. And this man looks at him and Jesus says to him, "Do you want to get well?" When I was growing up in church, I used to think Jesus was just being downright offensive asking this man. But as I've got older, I've realised that it is not as offensive as it sounds, because Jesus was challenging this man. What he was saying to him is, have you become comfortable with your life of dependency? Or are you prepared to embrace change? Would you like to walk again? You see, Jesus came to stir this man, not the pool. He came to stir a man, not a pool. And this is the Jesus that we are hearing of today. The same Jesus wants to stir us up. He wants to stir our hearts. He wants us to ask ourselves, are you prepared for change? Are you prepared for a breakthrough? It's only a few weeks ago where we prayed against that mountain of issues that we all were facing and that some of us are facing for the church as well. And you know what? Those mountains are going. They are going. But what's really important is we understand that Jesus is challenging us, saying, are you up for this? Are you prepared for change? Or have you become comfortable? An old friend of mine, long dead, John Price, was a Welsh miner who had been converted, and he had led to Christ a man who had been in the pit and got caught in a rock fall and blinded. And he came to some meetings that John was running, and they laid hands on him and his eyes were opened, and you can imagine the stir it caused in that little Welsh mining village. It was absolutely amazing. But 6 weeks later, the man is talking to John and he says, I'm really worried. They're going to take away my benefits. I'm going to have to go down the pit. I don't want to go down that pit again. And John said to him, listen, mate, you need to glorify God for what he's done for you. You have got your eyes back. You have got perfect vision. It's absolutely fantastic. You need to give God the glory for this. You don't need to be worried about your benefits. That man put on some sunglasses and started walking with a stick. And he went back to his old life. And he kept his benefits. But within a matter of months, he had gone blind again. Now, I am not telling you this as a scare story. I'm telling you this because this is the reality of when God gives us something good, we need to recognize it's good and not part exchange it for benefits. You know, I am sure that man could have lived comfortably without those benefits, with the ability to see and walk around and do things. But my mate John told me that, and I'll never forget that story. He was personally horrified what this man did, that he denied the power of Jesus, really. he was basically giving back word on what Jesus had done. Jesus approaches this man and says, "Do you want to get well? Or have you become comfortable with your dependency?" Some years ago, a woman I was dealing with, she had a real breakthrough, and she was able to walk properly and was able to get about. But up to that time, they'd had a blue badge. And she was having a reassessment of her status for disability benefits. And she said to me, "I really don't want to lose my blue badge." And she, to my understanding, walked away from God. And basically, that was over not being able to have a blue badge. You know, we need to think about commitment. I had a word with these lovely two people who were going to marry in a week on Saturday. And I said to them, "Listen, I want to talk to you about commitment." It's what I said to Xander and Melody 2 years ago. It's what I say to people when they're going to get married. I say, "Listen, this is a commitment. You're doing this and it's forever. There's no way out. So if you think you might want one, let's call it off now." Which, you know, I don't want to scare Jayam and Madhu, but I do say that very frankly to them, because marriage is about a commitment. It's a commitment. I will be there for you. You know, it's so important that we think about the consequences of what we're taking on. This man was being offered free gratis a brand new pair of legs. But he had to think it through. It's wonderful when you read the rest of the story. It's absolutely wonderful to see this man trotting about. It's great. But my third point. When Jesus asks him if he wants to get well, what he's saying is something like this. In answer to Jesus, he's saying something like this. He's saying, "Jesus, I'm always the bridesmaid, but never the bride. I've got nobody who will come and lift me up. When the waters bubble, I'm always the last one in, because there's nobody comes along and stands me up and says, 'Come on, we're going in, you're going to be the first.' I have no one to help me. I'm always a bridesmaid and never the bride. Someone always gets in before me. I never get healed." Of course, we don't actually know if anyone ever was healed in this cult of sheep poo. But his perception was that he was the one who always missed out. Do you sometimes see life like that? Do you sometimes see God like that? Timing may not be exactly what we want, but 38 years on, this man gets his opportunity with the Son of God, and it results in a total healing. You could ask why he had to wait so long. Well, you know, I mean, fundamentally, was this man looking for a healing until the healer turns up on his door? You know, ultimately, unless we are going to encounter Jesus for ourselves, how are we going to tap into the source of life and healing? Sometimes people are a bit heartless and say things like, "Well, it was just God's time." Like, he wanted you to be sick for 38 years? I don't think so. No, God wanted this man free always. But unless this man was going to look to God rather than to the sheep poo cult, God didn't have much of an opportunity to do a lot with him. Let's not think about our needs and our problems and say, well, it's always someone else. I'm always the bridesmaid. It's always someone else. It's that Stephen Redman. God always does it for him. Or, you know, or it's that Sandra. She always gets a touch. Or worse of all, that Bill. He always gets his prayers answered. And you know what? There's loads of people who have testified from the frontier to the power of God. But that doesn't make any of them any different to you. All that makes them different to you is they have said yes to Jesus. When Jesus has said to them, do you want to get well? They've said yes. And you know what? I've heard people say to me, you shouldn't have to say yes to God. God should just do it. You know, like God is some sort of genie. You rub the lamp quickly and God will appear and you will get your wishes. That God is some sort of fairy godmother that grants three wishes and you will go to the ball cinders. This is not our God. This is a God who listens when people call out his name. This is a God who will respond if you will respond to him. This is a God of relationship. He always has been and always will be. In the beginning, God created man and woman and he walked with them in the garden. It says in the cool of the day. I imagine that's in the afternoon, after the heat of the day, when it's starting to come towards the evening. God walked with them. We know he talked with them. We know he said to them, come on, guys, there's all these animals here. We need names for them. And Adam said to God, hippopotamus. And God said, you must be joking. Oh, well, it's your pick. Okay, it's a hippopotamus. Can we just call it a hippo, Adam? You know, God wanted relationship from the beginning. And in Jesus, we see the reality of that relationship made physically tangible to a God that we could reach out and touch. We need to understand that God is always there for us when we want him. What we need to do is not always expect that we will be 39 years paralyzed, but to recognize that this is the year in which we will meet God. And I believe this could be your year this year. In fact, I believe this could be your day. My last point today is walking on the word. Those are very nice Arabic-looking sandals, aren't they? Get up, Jesus told him. Pick up your bedroll and walk. Instantly, the man got well, picked up his bedroll and started to walk. Why was this man healed? Because he heard the word of Jesus and put his full weight on Jesus' word. This is what we need to understand. We must understand that just as Peter never walked on water, Peter walked on the word when Jesus said, come to me. Peter walked on that word. This man was the same. He walked on the word of Jesus. Jesus said, get up. So he did. And when you put your weight on the word of God, it will support you as you try to stand. If we put our weight on the facts that our body will no longer stand, we will get nowhere. But we have to put our weight on his word. We have to put our weight on his call. That will stand us up. 3 years ago, at the one event at Lincoln. I like to look around the room. You know, there's normally a big tent, 7,000 adults in it, 3,000 kids elsewhere on the site in different rooms, but 7,000 people. And I saw this woman running around the outside of the tent. And I thought, oh, what's that about? I had no idea. But the following week, I was at Lincoln meeting with the guys, and Stuart stood up and said, now, some of you may have noticed that a woman got up and started running round the tent. He said, what you won't have noticed is she was in a wheelchair when she came. She'd been in a wheelchair for, I don't know, something like 12 years or something like that. And she got up as we prayed for her, and she ran round the room, and she carried on running round the room until it was time to go home. Now, I just thought there was something like her, you know, I thought maybe she was like my wife, she likes to do the park run, you know, maybe she was just running. I thought it was exercise. I did not realise that her miracle had come that day. And Stuart was able to tell us that she was still walking and everything was fine. And that was good, because she got up on the word of Jesus. And we just need to understand, he wants to speak a word to us. We need to put our full weight on his word. The word of God is weight bearing. Have you ever been over one of these old bridges in the Yorkshire Dales, which says a weight limit of it, you know, nothing over 2 tons or something crazy. And I sometimes go over them and I think, I do hope that's still current and that they've reviewed it. I wouldn't like to drop down. But the word of God will bear our weight. It's dependable. We need to trust it. We need to trust him. We need to trust our Jesus. You know what? You might be one of these people who believe anything other than God. I meet this regularly. People who, they will literally believe anything as long as it's not God. But here's the wonderful thing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You'll be saved from your paralysis. You'll be saved from your paralysis of fear. You'll be saved from mental issues. You'll be saved from spiritual issues. You'll be saved, most of all, from sin. And you will have a real personal breakthrough where you know God, and that will be enough to see you through the rest of your life. Let me say this to you today. It's worth calling on his name. It's worth walking on the word. Let's pray. I just want to say to you today, if you need to step out onto the words of Jesus, then I want you to take a step right now and believe that that word will be enough for you. Whatever that word is, Jesus wants to say it to you now. He wants to say, be saved, be healed, be delivered, know me. He wants to say, be comforted. Many things he wants to say, but we have to put our weight on his word and walk on it. Will you do that today? Just want to say to you, if you want to do that today, just put your hand up and take it straight down again, and I'm going to pray for you. No one will see except me and God. Thank you. And God will do the work now. I'm going to pray for you. Lord, for those that have raised a hand, we just say these words. For God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus sets you free right now. Receive and know the goodness of God. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.